Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, Chapter 80, God's Presence a Reality. Dear Brother Q, I am glad you are today in blank, and if you make God your trust, you will be the right man in the right place. Keep self out of sight. Let it not come in to mar the work, though this will be natural. Walk humbly with God. Let us work for the Master with disinterested energy, keeping before us a sense of the constant presence of God. Think of Moses, what endurance and patience characterized his life. Paul, in his epistle to the Hebrews, says, "For he endured, as seeing him who is invisible." The character that Paul thus ascribes to Moses does not mean simply passive resistance of evil, but perseverance in the right. He kept the Lord ever before him, and the Lord was ever at his right hand to help him. Moses had a deep sense of the personal presence of God. He was not only looking down through the ages for Christ to be made manifest in the flesh, but he saw Christ in a special manner accompanying the children of Israel in all their travels. God was real to him, ever present in his thoughts. When misunderstood, when called upon to face danger and to bear insult for Christ's sake, he endured without retaliation. Moses believed in God as one whom he needed and who would help him because of his need. God was to him a present help. Much of the faith which we see is merely nominal. The real, trusting, persevering faith is rare. Moses realized in his own experience the promise that God will be a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Here is another point in regard to faith which we wish to study. God will reward the man of faith and obedience. If this faith is brought into the life experience, it will enable everyone who fears and loves God to endure trials. Moses was full of confidence in God because he had appropriating faith. He needed help, and he prayed for it, grasped it by faith, and wove into his experience the belief that God cared for him. He believed that God ruled his life in particular. He saw and acknowledged God in every detail of his life, and felt that he was under the eye of the all-seeing one, who weighs motives, who tries the heart. He looked to God and trusted in him for strength to carry him uncorrupted through every form of temptation. He knew that a special work had been assigned to him, and he desired, as far as possible, to make that work thoroughly successful. But he knew that he could not do this without divine aid, for he had a perverse people to deal with. The presence of God was sufficient to carry him through the most trying situations in which a man could be placed. Moses did not merely think of God. He saw him. God was the constant vision before him. He never lost sight of his face. He saw Jesus as his Savior, and he believed that the Savior's merits would be imputed to him. This faith was to Moses no guesswork. It was a reality. This is the kind of faith we need, faith that will endure the test. Oh, how often we yield to temptation because we do not keep our eye upon Jesus. Our faith is not continuous because, through self-indulgence, we sin, and then we cannot endure as seeing him who is invisible. My brother, make Christ your daily, hourly companion, and you will not complain that you have no faith. Contemplate Christ. View his character. Talk of him. The less you exalt self, the more you will see in Jesus to exalt. God has a work for you to do. Keep the Lord ever before you. Brother and Sister Q, reach up higher and still higher for clearer views of the character of Christ. When Moses prayed, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory," the Lord did not rebuke him, but he granted his prayer. God declared to his servant, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee." We keep apart from God, and this is why we do not see the revealings of his power. The presence of Christ in the schoolroom. My brother, my sister, may the Lord impart wisdom to you both, that you may know how to deal with minds. May the Lord teach you how great things he can do if you will only believe. Carry Jesus with you as your companion into the schoolroom. Keep him before you when you speak, that the law of kindness may proceed from your lips. Do not permit anyone to mold you in this matter. Allow the children under your care to have an individuality as well as yourselves. Ever try to lead them, but never drive them. I see some things here in Switzerland that I think are worthy of imitation. The teachers of the schools often go out with their pupils while they are at play and teach them how to amuse themselves and are at hand to repress any disorder or wrong. Sometimes they take their scholars out and have a long walk with them. I like this. I think there is less opportunity for the children to yield to temptation. The teachers seem to enter into the sports of the children and to regulate them. I cannot in any way sanction the idea that children must feel that they are under a constant distrust and cannot act as children. But let the teachers join in the amusements of the children, be one with them, and show that they want them to be happy, and it will give the children confidence. They may be controlled by love, but not by following them at their meals and in their amusements with a stern, unbending severity. Let me say here that those who have never had children of their own are not usually the best qualified to manage wisely the varied minds of children and youth. They are apt to make one law from which there can be no appeal. Teachers must remember that they themselves were once children. They should adapt their teaching to the minds of the children, placing themselves in sympathy with them. Then the children can be instructed and benefited, both by precept and example. May the Spirit of Jesus come in to mold your hearts, to fashion your characters, to elevate and ennoble your souls. Christ said to his disciples, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." There is need of laying aside these cast iron rules, of coming down from these stilts to the humbleness of the child. Oh, that some of the spirit of severity may change to a spirit of love, that happiness and sunshine may take the place of discouragement and grief.